Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny.
Mention It All. A Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. And it's Podcast Friday.
Welcome.
Like, what day is it? It could be Wednesday. I don't know. No, it's Podcast Friday for sure.
God, I wish it was real Friday. That's what I need right now.
The real Friday. I just saw a meme where someone was like, can someone who's good at science please explain to me how today is literally not Friday? Because
it doesn't sit right with me. It doesn't add up. I know you and I have both been into watching the Olympics, and I feel like this week has just felt like every night I'm like, I have plans. Like either I've had real plans some nights, but then other nights it's like, no, I have to watch swimming.
The Olympics is so funny to me when it's on, because it's like the Olympics is a real thing, but we talk about it like we're at summer camp or we're like, we have swimming finals tonight. Like, but we're just watching, but it's real.
I have to say, last night when I was watching Family Karma, I had the Olympics playing in a different tab on mute.
That's too hectic. And then
when there was like, there were a couple like big swimming finals, and I would like pause Family Karma just to see what happened.
Okay. So I watched all the swimming last night, and I watched Family Karma at 6 a.m. today on my phone, on the Bravo app, because I was like, I need to concentrate on like one or the other. And like, I can't, you know, while sometimes on Bravo, like the show plays later, but it wasn't playing. So I was like, I'm saving this for the morning. Family Karma needs all my attention. But I know I reference like everything to the internet, whether it be a TikTok or a meme or something. But one more of the Olympics related. There was an Olympian. I forgot who it was. Dylan, I think you actually posted this video of an Olympian. I forgot who it was. I'm sorry. And he was like, wow, being here is crazy. And then you're watching and you're like, why do we do this?
Oh, it was Adam Rippon, the figure skater who's like in Tokyo doing, I don't know, like NBC things. And
coverage, yeah.
I love how they just like invite people. They're like, Michael Phelps, like come hang out. Like,
and Lori Hernandez is doing coverage like on Peacock. Like she's like, I'll just be on Peacock. I'm like, what?
She's good at, no, it's fun though, because it's like,
she's
obviously
fun.
Like, yeah. Nastia does like the big girl NBC broadcast, but like Lori's getting her, you know, she's getting a paycheck too, which I love to see. Get the money. Yeah.
Get it, honey.
Get those checks. Like, you know, I feel like Nastia could be a housewife someday.
Oh, that would be like, she's too young for right now. She is. Well, but
yeah, she's like 30. She's getting there. Also, she's not married, but who knows?
Is anyone that's on the Housewives now?
Wait, you know, one of the women who is in the rumored new Miami cast is the wife of tennis champion Martina Navratilova.
So we have a housewife. An old school housewife.
Like that there's like a bunch of people, there's like names floating around for Miami, and like some are returned, like Lisa is coming back and Larsa, but it's going to be interesting. They were in the Hamptons last weekend.
I am so nervous for Larsa. I am so nervous because you guys know I'm obviously a Miami fan, and she was just on season one, and she is a completely different human being now.
Yeah, that's what my thought. It's like I still haven't watched Miami. That's a character flaw. Like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it before the new one comes out.
Still but a nice faith in you. You'll knock it out in a day.
Exactly. I sort of like thought that ship had sailed for Larsa. And when there were like rumors about her being on the reboot, I was like, oh, like, I'm sure she's just like trying to get some buzz, but she was with them in New York. So she's on the show.
Yeah. So I think she's on it now because like, she probably also doesn't know where her life stands right now. So it's like, I might as well do this.
Well, how long have she and Scotty been
allegedly
divorced?
Yeah, it's been, weren't they like divorced, not getting divorced, divorced, not getting divorced? Now it's been a few years, I think.
Like, but when she was on the show before, they were still together, right? Okay. Okay. Interesting. So she's in a different place now. Mm-hmm. Facially, yeah. And life-wise. Okay.
Yes. Well,
I can't wait to talk about Miami when it actually comes back. Cause I, it's always fun to have like new old show to dive into, but
yeah,
let's talk about New York. We had our fun episode with Samantha Bush on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So if you didn't hear that, go check it out. Cause we did talk about last week's Beverly Hills. Our schedule has just been so hectic the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it's because of the Olympics. Sorry.
It's not because of the Olympics. You know, like my events aren't till next week. Like I'm still training. So we had our interview with Leah last Thursday, and then we talked about Beverly Hills on Tuesday. So go listen to that. But no Beverly Hills this week. So we're talking about Roni. And this episode, we're back in the city, no more Salem, which I appreciate. And I feel like this was a little more of like a normal episode. It felt like we were getting into a rhythm a little bit. We're getting some updates on things we haven't heard about in a while, namely Luann's situationship with Garth, which is no longer happening.
Yeah, like give a guy one freaking Page Six article and it's all downhill from there.
Yeah,
he was like surprised, upset. He was on a few episodes of a show, which I think might be worse than the article.
So I was confused about this because it's like, why would you agree to film for the show? You know, you're going to be on the show and then get mad about a Page Six article. And a little birdie told me that that might not totally be how things went down.
I agree.
And that it was more that is a little bit of an excuse on Luann's part because it really wasn't that serious of a relationship. And it just kind of sizzled and fizzled on its own.
Yeah. So that's even as a viewer what it seemed like. And it's so always so awkward when like as an outsider, you're like, you're not really dating. Like, why do you think you are? If I know just from watching that you're not dating, like, come on. So he was probably like, what the hell? I'm here to train your friends. Like, what? I'm not your boyfriend. And then like typical Luann, she's like, well, I mean, I mentioned it. Now I actually sound like Luann. So I'm like, well, I mentioned it. And I think he got a little, you know, I don't know.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. I have to wonder, like, later in the episode when these guys come to Ramona and Sonia's birthday party, I have to wonder, like, if they really know what they're signing up for. Because, like, we don't know if Ramona and Will actually, like, slept together. But obviously, they're making it look on the show like they're going to. So, like, is Will, like, happy about that? Like, I don't know how I would feel if I was in that position. I'm like, I don't want people to think I had sex with Ramona. I mean, okay. I wouldn't, because like, she's not my type, but in multiple ways.
So I feel like what happened is there are these guys outside that maybe they just had finished dinner across the street or something. They're like, hey guys, we are filming upstairs. Do you want to be, you just have to sign this real quick. And they're like, sure, why not? So they go, and there's a bunch of like 50-year-old women, and they're like, they didn't tell the boys that part, and they're like all over them, and they're like, oh my God. That's how I think it went down in my head.
This time, no, because of COVID and stuff, like, you know, they had to be tested. I think they literally were like, who can we call? Because
that's
we've
even
seen,
worse. Which one of our I know, ideas is worse?
We've seen know. Will before. Some of the women know Dylan. The naked painting model, I can't remember his name, is there.
What, like, a freaking mess.
It was a motley crew. And it's like the, sorry to the naked man, I can't remember your name, but it's like, there's no actual good reason for him to be there. There's, I mean, like, Will, maybe, but it's like, none of these guys are actually, like, they're real friends.
To be honest, at this point, they should have just had Harry Dubin at the party, because that would have...
I was just thinking that. I'm like, maybe he was probably in Miami or something. Like, he probably couldn't make the trip. I'm sure he got asked. But yeah, Harry wasn't there. We could have had, like, Frenchie or whoever, like, Sonia's guys were. Like, is Jack not in town? Like, there are, this was definitely like the B team of Roni guys.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's almost like when you're having a party at home, like, basically what they did, and they're literally like, who can we call, like what you just said. But it's like not the guy you want to hook up with, but it's like, oh, I'll settle with this another guy that like Snapchatted me like last week. That's what,
right,
it felt
and
like.
You've already invited too many people to cancel it, but like the people you actually wanted to come aren't coming. So you're kind of like, yay, my acquaintances.
Yeah.
We're just selling this party. Damn.
I know.
Sounds fun.
I'm sorry. But I mean, but I was happy to see them at a bar restaurant, which, by the way, like, that place looked really nice. And I kind of like want to go there because I love the decor. I love how it was like high up. Like, I actually really did like the place. It just kind of felt a little off because we've never had Sonia and Ramona's birthdays together. We've never had Ramona's birthday of not 50 people. So it just seemed like the wrong party for this.
It was interesting because Luann was like, well, you know, like, I thought I would throw her a party because it's always more fun than planning your own party. And I'm like, not for Ramona. I don't think Ramona is somebody that likes relinquishing control like that. Like, I think if putting myself in Ramona's shoes, I'm like, no, like, I want to plan the guest list. I want to plan the whatever. Like, I want to know who's coming. And I mean, who was coming other than those guys was just the six women in the cast. So I guess there wasn't much planning to do, really.
Yeah, I guess. What do I want for Christmas?
What do I want for Christmas? Just you.
I can't.
It's kind of catchy. It's kind of catchy.
And it's so weird because I wish the song had like one more, like, something that line had. So what? So every woman for Luann's song, every woman came in and sang the same line, and it's just being thrown in throughout the song. And we have to figure out whose voice is it at that moment.
Yeah, I think maybe like Luann is singing the verses
the
more.
Song, yeah.
Yeah. And then they're just kind of doing the chorus. But like, did the song come out? Like, is it coming out this Christmas? Like, I don't remember hearing it last year. So I'm like,
is it coming out this Christmas?
I was thinking like, oh, they'll probably release it like now, but it's July.
Well, and it, okay, so the way it went down, I thought was kind of cute. I don't know, like she had, I feel like she sent out a spreadsheet, almost like a hair and makeup at a wedding where like bridesmaids are like, you're at this time, you're at this time. Like, I feel like each woman had an assigned time, like a 15 minute slot to get their line down and that's it. They were never there at the same time, which I guess could have been chaotic or whatever. She had producers there, but I just felt like the energy was also off in this songwriting process or the recording process.
In my mind, she didn't want anyone to be like embarrassed to sing in front of anyone else, but it also might have been a COVID filming thing. Like maybe she could only have a certain number of people in her apartment.
Right. Cause the producers and the cameraman and everyone was there.
Yeah, I don't know. This song is fine. I thought it was like, I have mixed feelings about Leah being like up in arms over the contract stuff because like, I understand, I think like the root of her concerns, like, I don't think it's weird to ask, but I think she's like making it into a little more of a thing than it needs to be. And I think like Luann said on Watch What Happens Live, like, obviously like it's normal for there to be a contract. Like there was going to be a contract. So it's not bad of her to ask, but like, we were just kind of like, it was coming together quickly. We like, obviously they had to do it when they were filming. So that was a whole thing. Like, I feel like Leah was kind of, I did feel like she was acting like Luann was trying to do something shady when I think in reality, it's more just like, hey, like just wondering what's the contract situation for this.
Yeah. And I think that is how she kind of wanted it. And then they both got defensive, like Luann got defensive right away, which made Leah get defensive. And so it became something it didn't need to be, where exactly Leah was kind of just covering her ass. And like, but then fast forward later on when she brought it up again and she was like, well, what if this killed me? And she's like, what if the song hypothetically blows up and she makes like $1 million? I was like, well, I can promise you that's not going to happen.
I'm like, Leah, my dear, this song is not making a million.
She was just using it as an example, but it was like really funny. Like,
when somebody says that all of the proceeds from a song or something like that are being donated to charity, I don't ever assume that there's like a 6 month limit on that. Like, I just assume anytime you get a check from that song, it's going to charity. So like, I'm not like making charity singles all the time, so maybe there's fine print, but like, I don't think Luann is getting rich off this song, whatever the contract terms are. So
yeah, that's true. And honestly, I can't wait to hear it because like, I hope this is the thing. Like, I hope Luann, isn't she also coming out with an album, a Christmas album? Didn't she? Did I make that up fully?
I could know have about sworn. An album. Well, she I don't know about an album, but she was supposed to do last year before COVID. I know that she was going to do Christmas cabaret shows, and I think she might be doing that now this year. So yeah, it makes sense for her to have, you know, at least a handful of Christmas songs under her belt. but I don't know, like, yeah, I don't know. Honestly,
under her belt.
A Countess Christmas Cabaret would probably be better than a regular Christmas or Countess Christmas. What am I saying? Her normal show is not that impressive. So I feel like Christmas songs would at least be like fun.
Yeah, I totally. Here we are. Let's manifest that. And I think Luann's a person who can get that done. But we do have to call this out, you guys. We do have to call out our biggest fan. We've been trying to get her on the podcast forever. Rihanna. She watched this week's episode and it couldn't have been like timed better. Like she, Ramona and Leah got into it as usual because now they're just fighting like sisters. And oh my God, first of all, the one thing I thought of is because not only did Rihanna take a selfie and post it in a Married to the Mom t-shirt and tag Ramona.
Yeah.
Don't you ever wonder about these celebrities? Because they have like 100 houses. They have people packed for them. She found that shirt. That means Rihanna knows where her Married to Mob t-shirt from years ago is and put it on.
Was it an old shirt? I wasn't sure.
I think it was. I'm not sure if it's one of the newer ones.
No, but you're right. Because it's like, if I have like, you know.
I always think about that.
like, obviously, so, like, I have my, you know, my New York place, my LA yeah. place.
Yeah.
And you know, you south might of France. Like,
yeah.
I have all my places. I have, like, you know, random drawers of things in each
yeah.
in each home
it's
of
hard,
mine that
guys.
I have.
It's, yeah.
So, like, yeah, right. Like, even, I mean, I live in a small apartment and I still can't find the shirt that I want half the time. So it's like, it is impressive that Rihanna was able to, like, be like, oh, let me get that shirt and put it on.
Oh my God. And it was like the perfect, like, dig to Ramona. I was like, you can't. And then Ramona, like, reposted it with the laughing emoji. She's like, LOL Rihanna. I was like, no, Ramona. Like,
Rihanna just, like, clowned you. I'm curious to know. We know that Rihanna enjoys watching Bravo. I'm curious to know whether she is actually this up to date on New York or whether somebody, like, texted her and was like, LOL girl, you got to watch this scene.
Yeah, because I can't imagine her being like, I have to, like, I can't go to dinner on, like, I have to.
She's like,
have
Tuesday night. She's like, Tuesday night. Nah, I got plans. I got a date.
Oh my God.
At 9 Eastern, nine. Wherever I yeah. am in the world.
I just thought, oh my God, like, I was like, that really was, I don't know if it, maybe it really wasn't, like, that crazy, but I just thought it was so fucking funny that Rihanna. This, like, Rihanna, just, I can't get over it. It was great.
What did you think about Ebony's invitation to Black Shabbat?
I will let you know.
Specifically, Ebony's lack of invitation for Brashan.
I gotta say, I was not for this at all. And I love Ebony, and I was very, very taken back because I thought it was rude. The fact that she didn't invite Brashan or whoever it would be, I always think that's really rude to do to someone because you're at a party. Okay. So of course, Brashan's going to walk over to a group of people walking and they stop talking, and, like, good for Brashan to be like, so what party am I not invited to? Like, that was just, like, middle school. That was mean.
I agree.
And yeah. It was not nice. And then the Black Shabbat was very weird to me, only because I got a side with Ramona just for 1 second, and that's about it, just 1 second, where she was like, well, why aren't you just, it's Shabbat dinner. And she's right, because the person who's hosting it, like, Ebony is just inviting people. The person mm-hmm. hosting it, she said, is not Black. And, like, it's just Shabbat dinner. Like, it's a Shabbat dinner. It's actually to bring people together. It's not about race at all. Yeah. And the fact that Ebony's reasoning for not inviting Brashan, number one, because it was COVID, which is bullshit because you're inviting other people. And number two, you're inviting all the other housewives who are not, you're inviting all white people. So
yeah, that was the weird thing to me. It's like, whoever's hosting it, I don't know. We don't know her, Ebony's friend, whatever. But, like, the fact that, okay, so then she's saying that it's this group of women that she went to Israel with, so they have right. this special bond. Okay, great. That's a special group. But then yeah. why, but you're inviting Ramona, who you, like, barely fuck with, to this dinner.
Yeah,
and
it
then,
wasn't nice.
And then
to
you're
me.
Saying that Brashan can't come because she's Black but didn't go to Israel with you. And it's like, okay, but, like, Luann gets an invite. Like, it's
it
weird.
Really didn't make sense.
I mean, like, she can invite whoever she wants. And I yeah. agree. I think on, like, the surface level, it was just the most annoying thing was just, like, don't do it in front of her then. Like, don't,
yeah,
like, send a text. Don't ask when Brashan is 6 feet away. But there are kind of, like, weird layers to it where it's like, wait, what? Like, I'm curious to see, like probably next week, like, what the event actually is like, because it was kind of, like, a strange way of explaining it. And I mean it could be a really cool event, it might be great, but, like, it was weird to be like, Brashan, no, you can't come because you didn't come to Israel with me, but, like, Ramona, are you free? Like,
and the thing is too, I get it if Ebony is not feeling Brashan, you know what I mean? Because we've always said that if people aren't necessarily meant to be friends, they don't need to be. But I agree with you, and, like, what I said earlier, like, to do it there is just not right. You could have sent a group chat. You could have done it after. You could have done it when you got into the bathroom. Like, again, enter production. We don't really know if she was like, hey, Ebony, invite all the women over there to your dinner that for next week. And she's like, okay. So I feel like it just landed wrong with me. But again, yeah, let's see next week. It very could be more educational. I don't know, but to label it like that was kind of
We do know that Brashan doesn't want to go to another educational dinner, so maybe she's saving for the hassle.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Did you know that women make up 56% of law students? It's clear that the future of the legal field is female. So why are so many legal podcasts and reviews authored by men? Hi, I'm Leah Littman.
I'm Kate Shaw.
And with Melissa Murray, we are the hosts of Strict Scrutiny.
Each week, we break down the latest headlines and biggest legal questions facing our country to give you expert views you won't hear anywhere else.
Strict Scrutiny is your guide to the Supreme Court.
New episodes drop every Monday. Make sure to subscribe to Strict Scrutiny wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's talk about Family Karma. Sadly, it was the season finale last night.
What the hell?
I was so surprised because we didn't talk about last week's episode. So I was a few days behind watching it and I didn't realize that already it was the season finale this week. I'm like, wait, what? Like, I really thought they would give them a longer season, but it is what it is. I mean, there was a lot to wrap up last night. So
also a longer season considering, I don't know, it's one of the best shows on Bravo and they're like carrying other shows
it's a great show. And also they have like 20 cast members because there's the aunties and the kids. And like season, they gave us so much more of the aunties and we had so many scenes that were just them. And like last night we had that great scene where Dharma invited Reshma and Lopa out to lunch. And I really was impressed because I feel like they went into that lunch really like not speaking the same language. Like they weren't communicating well with each other. And by the end, I really did feel like they sort of came to an understanding where they were like, whatever has happened, whatever we feel like we have to put this aside
right
for our kids.
Yeah, exactly. And at one point Reshma was like, Lopa, you're not even looking at me. Like, how are we going to get everywhere? You're literally looking across the table, not at me. Like, if you want to talk to me, like, they got a little, you know, what moms are, they're protecting their young on both sides. They really are. But I feel like they really do need to start liking each other. And it's to the point, I feel like it's the type of fight where they don't even know why they don't like each other anymore, which those are the types of arguments where you just have to get past because it's irrelevant now. So they are at a good place. We see them like later on even partying together. And of course, it's so funny. At the Christmas party, at the auntie's Christmas party, like, of course, Reshma is the one that answers the door for Lopa. And she's like, oh, hi. I was like, well, that couldn't have been planned any better. But yeah, they're in a good place, which I feel is the biggest part of why Vishal and Richta are in a good place right now. Because their moms made up. And it's just,
Made up. And Vishal, I think like he's always had the same level of feelings for Richa. Like, I don't think he ever was like not invested in the relationship, but I think he finally is like putting the pieces together of like, I know what I need to do to show her how I feel. And like, I'm going to do those things. I'm not going to like sit here and be like sad. And at the end of the day, I mean, like, I don't know. It's funny to me that he's just like, I got an apartment. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, sure. Cool. But like, she seems happy. So
I got to say, Vishal is all around a nice guy, like not a fuck boy, not an asshole. Like he's a nice guy. And to say that even as a viewer, I was like, wow, he put in thought and effort into what he's doing. And he knows that he needs to make these changes in order for his life to move forward. And like, he did just that. And it looks like he wasn't like fooling around. He was being serious. Yeah. He's like, I'm older now. Like, this is what I got to do. And I was like, wait, this is really cute. Like really cute. And I'm
like, I have to know,
smiling.
What are your thoughts on swimming with gators? Would you do that?
Okay. So when they first said it, I was like, you shouldn't do that. But the net
you're
was
like behind
there,
the glass. Yeah.
And it was like a really, I know I shouldn't say small, but it was on the smaller side of a gator. So I know I sound nuts right now, but it really
you're
was.
Like, it could bite. You're like, it could bite into my arm, but I don't think it could bite my arm off.
Okay. But at the same time, like that thing could bite through that net. I think it was, I don't want to say this because I love animals. However, I fucking hate alligators. And I think I have always felt this way. I feel strongly the fact that alligators / crocodiles and snakes should not exist in the world. Was that thing sedated? It was just like floating in the water.
I don't know,
with
but
a human.
Any reptile activists listening to this podcast, Barry doesn't mean it.
They're no, they're like part dinosaur. Like I actually like they're scary and just they disrupt the community. They eat. They show up at people's doors in Florida. Like no, I've had enough.
You want to know something wild?
My dad almost got eaten by one once. Maybe I'm scarred from that.
When I was in, I did Boy Scouts growing up, and at summer camp, at Boy Scout summer camp, you always like picked a few merit badges to work on, and you would go to like classes and whatever. And one year I decided that I wanted to do
an alligator.
I wanted to do the reptile and amphibian studies merit badge. And there was like all this stuff, like you had to learn all this stuff and like take quizzes and whatever. And like, I don't like snakes. Like I really don't. And like one day the like counselor brought like a snake in a box or whatever. And he was like, yeah, like everybody like touched the snake. And I literally was like, I don't want to do this. And I was like, is that like required? And I did. I had to touch the snake.
Okay. First of all, this is one of the best conversations we've ever had on this show. But I do have to say, speaking of amphibians.
Like, I've been waiting a year and a half to talk about reptiles.
No joke. In middle school, you know how, I don't know if your school did this, but where I'm from, all like middle school, like this one grade, you look forward to dissecting a frog. Did you ever do that in school?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was like, I'm not doing that. And as the outspoken person that I have always been, I was like to my teacher, I'm not doing that. And he was like, if you can go sit in the hallway. And I said, okay. And then we had a tarantula and I didn't do it. And he passed around a tarantula on another day. And he was like, same thing as you. Everyone has to touch it. And he did say, if you don't touch it, you fail. At that moment, I didn't know he was joking, but I was like, okay, I'll take the F. I was in sixth grade. I was like, I'm not touching a fucking tarantula. And I didn't.
Wait, okay. It was like a live tarantula.
The tarantula was live. The frogs were dead. The tarantula was live. Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. No, tarantulas terrify me. It's like terrifying.
Not normal. Me. I've crossed all Australia. This is terrible. We have to move on after this. This is just like too much. I want to go to Australia so bad. And I've like lowered it on my list because of like videos and stuff of the spiders that I see there. Which I guess spiders, is kind of rude because like we have that in America as well. So I take that back.
That's
but
true.
Still, yeah.
That's
all right.
True. I don't know. Wait, okay,
so anyway, the crocodile date, I don't know. It depends how bad I like the guy who's bringing me on the date.
Okay. Let's talk about Brian and Monica's little big discussion fight. I feel like they are
not on the same page.
I feel like the main issue is that Brian is like super in his head about his position in life, like with his job and whether he can leave Miami and like all of this stuff. And I feel like Monica knows what she wants. She's been really clear in her expectations. And I think it sucks because I don't think she's done anything wrong. And I don't really think he's done anything wrong either. I think he just needs to like figure it out if it's going to work for him. Because I think like, you know, it might not be the right timing for them to be engaged in 6 months or whatever. And I think he needs to figure out for himself so that he's not like stringing Monica along if he's not ready for what she wants.
I agree. I think timing is everything. And I think he's actually, I've said this even in the beginning of the season, I think he's actually doing the right thing where imagine they do get engaged and they're not in the right space and headspace mm-hmm. and financial space, anything, it could ruin your relationship as a whole, as opposed to waiting until everyone is where they need to be and then figure out if they really should be together. But I actually think he's like really strong, and his poor parent, like his mom is like, you can live with me forever. She's like, I'll do whatever it takes. Like everyone on the show just loves each other so much. It's like sick, but I guess
I know. Meanwhile,
family karma.
Meanwhile, Monica Vaswani and Rishi seem like they're about to get engaged any second. So,
well, she told them she is really, and he goes, well, okay. She like told him she's so cute though. She's not like, you know, nasty about it, and she like knows what she wants, but she's like a cutesy little girl. So I hope they do. And he has been upgraded to Saks Fifth Avenue Drake.
Oh, the Saks Drake. Yeah, not the dollar store Drake. That's good. That's nice. That's nice.
Like, Anisha.
like you're also you're so good. I loved seeing Monica's parents at dinner together. It was a little awkward at first, but they seemed to really you know, figure out the dynamic, and then they had a nice little moment at the end. It's just good to see, like, as a child of divorce, it's nice when your parents can like be at a dinner together when it's like a life event for you.
Yeah, because all it takes, like, you never know unless, of course, everyone's situations are different, but you never know unless you try. So yeah, they don't get along, but they did it for their daughter and they went, and it turned out to not be so bad for them. So amazing. That just means that they can do it again.
I really hope they get a season 3, because I feel like there are so many storylines and things. Like, I want to see what happens. Like, I want to see Vishal and Richa get married. I want to see Nicholas and Amrit get married. Like, I want to know if Anisha's like actually going to be in a relationship. Like, there are so many questions. Brian and Monica, like, what's going on?
I cannot see this show not getting renewed for a third season. That would be insane.
I do feel like people, I don't know. I mean, I don't pay it that much attention to the ratings, because I don't think they actually matter as much as people pretend, like, say they do. But like, I feel like the community is really like into the show this season. So I hope that that's, you know, giving Bravo like the go ahead to be like, yeah, we should do another one.
Yeah. So what is crazy is, remember when we first talked to Anisha and she was like hinting that they were filming for like second season. And that was after the first season, which it was like, they were kind of, you're always iffy about a second one. But now I feel like the show blew up and it's like really popular. So it's like, I can't see why they would renew it for a second and not a third because of how well, but you know what? We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll be very upset if they don't, but I have faith. I really do. But yeah, I think, Vishal's the actual engagement, like, you can even see an energy switch in Richa. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, she was like,
I think they like
gave him a kiss on
time.
The lips.
Yeah. I hope. Oh, I love these crazy kids.
She also looked hot at that engagement.
She did. She looked good at the holiday party too.
You're telling me she didn't know that was coming? I don't know. Yeah, these holiday parties, oh my God. It's just so good. I want to see how the underwear business is doing,
We'll see. Underwear dance
party.
I don't love the name. I got to say, the name is like a little cheesy for me, but
it's not really pulling me in, but I'm also not the demographic.
True. Okay. Well, until next time, thanks Family Karma for a good second season.
Yeah.
We will be back on Monday with another episode. In the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, follow the show wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches, and just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Betches.